Today's daf is daf kuf mem, so we got two lines down. The Gemara has been discussing whether the word sipur means a oaf tahor, or does it perhaps even imply an oaf tame as well. So Gemara says, Tashmad, we had a few of these already, quote the pasuk, it says, Tashma kol tzipor tahora, and the pasuk says, tochelu, you could eat a tzipor tochelu, tzipor tahor, you could eat rather. So, michlal de'ika tameh, that implies there's a tzipor tahor, and there's also that which is called a tzipor tameh, because had tzipor mean tahora, then the word tahor in the pasuk is superfluous, just say, kol tzipor tochelu. So the fact that it says called tzipor tahora, that implies michlal de'ika tameh, there's a tzipor that's tameh as well. And Gemara says, lo, that is incorrect. Michlal de'ika asura. There's a kol tzipor tahora that's permitted to be eaten, but there's also that which is going to be asur, a tzipor that's, even though it's tahor, it's asur to eat. So mahi, what's an example of a kosher bird that's asur to eat? Each chafe, if you're telling me the bird's a trefa, that's the type of the bird, even though it's a kosher bird, you can't eat a trefa. Well, behediyuk, if that's in the first pasuk elsewhere that tells us, nevelu trefa lo yocha, you can't eat an animal that's a trefa. So what is it implied by kol tzipor tahora, but a kol tzipor tahora that's asur, you cannot eat? So, eid the shchut the mitzara, if it's referring to when we have the mitzara that you have to shech the animal and take the blood to kasher the mitzara, that bird. So that's, you're not allowed to eat. Well, that's the end of the pasuk. We say for the krah, nafka, it says in the end of the pasuk, v'zeh ashelo sochlu mehem, and this you shouldn't eat from them, which the gemara darshans, the rabbos shchitas mitzara. If you shechted a bird to kasher mitzara, that is zeh lo sochelo. You can't eat from them. So what's implied from the pasuk called tzipor tahora that you can eat that we don't know from elsewhere? So the Gemara says, Liolam really is talking about the Shchuta de Mitzara. It's referring to the animal, the bird that shechted as part of the Tara process for Mitzara. Don't we already know you can't eat it? The Pasuk, Gemara tells us, Lavor lava vasei below sasei. It's telling us there are two violations. From the Pasuk, Vizeh sheloso chlumehem, that tells us there's a lav for eating the Shchuta Mitzara. And from the Pasuk of Kol Tzipor Torah Tochelu, we learn in asei, in Isra asei, if you were to eat the Shchuta de Mitzara as well. So then the Gemara says, V'lokum b'treifa. So once we're establishing here, we're adding on a number, multiple Yisurim. So just like we suggested, maybe it's referring to the Shchuta Mitzora, there's a lav and an asay, why don't we say really referring to a treifa? And even though there's another pasuk that tells us in the veil of a treifa, lo yochal, maybe we should learn there's also an Isra asay by treifa, and not apply the Isra asay to the Mitzora. Again, lokum b'treifa, and to tell us, V'lav or lav b'asay v'lo sasay. So the Gemara says, because the context tells us otherwise. Davar halamin miinyano, biinyano de shchuta, if it's referring to shchuta, because everyone is in agreement that the end of the pasuk that we're darshaning, where it says, v'zeh ashelosu chlumehem, the parshat re'eh, that's Vale talking about shchuta de mitzara. So from the fact that the end of the pasuk is referring to shchuta mitzara, it makes sense because the context, davar halamin miinyano, that the beginning of the pasuk, when it says, kol tzipor tahora sochelu, that must also be referring to the shchuta of the mitzara. Gemara now brings another raya, Tashma. It says in the pasuk by the Mitzorah as well, by Taras and Mitzorah, it says you should take shtei tziparim chayos, two live birds. So my chayos, what do you mean chayos? So what do you mean live birds? If you're shechting a bird, of course it should be live. Lav shechayos bificha, what means is it's live that's permitted for you to be eaten. You have to eat both of them, which implies michlal dikalav shechayos bificha, that there are types of tziporim that are not permitted to be eaten. So again, the pasuk says shtei tziporim chayos, implying there are tziporim that are lav chayos, that are not alive for you, which means not permitted to you. So tzipor really means both kosher animals and non-kosher animals, and chayos is simply dictating to us that in this context we need kosher birds, but there are other tziporim that are actually not kosher. So Gemara says, lo, my chayos, what does the word chayos mean in the pasuk here by Taras Matara? It means shechayin rashay evarm shelahen, to tell me that it has to be complete, that all the evarm have to be intact. But if the tzipor is missing limbs, it's missing a certain evarim, that's not permitted. But this isn't referring to kosher, non-kosher birds, it's vade kosher birds. Tzipor means kosher birds. Chayos refers to all the limbs should be intact. So Gemara now brings another drasha. Again, this is by the Mitzara as well. It says, Tashma Misefa Taros. The pasuk says, by the Taros HaMitzara, Shtei Tziparim Chayos Tahoros. So what's being learned from the extra word Tahoros? Michlal Dika Tameos. The word Tahoros is qualifying Tziparim. So there's some Tziparim that are Tame, some Tziparim that are Tahoros. So for the Taros Mitzara, you need to bring Tziparim that are Tahor, which implies that there are other Tziparim which are non-kosher birds. So we see Tzipor implies both types of birds. Or it says, lo, Michlal Dika Trefos. Of course, Tzipor means a kosher bird. What does Tahoros mean? We want to use kosher birds that are not Trefas for the Taras Mitzara. But if you have a kosher bird that's a Trefa, that is puzzle for being used as a Taras Mitzara. But nothing to do with non-kosher birds. It's excluding Trefos of kosherbert. So Gemara says that can't be the drasha because we already know that trefos are pasul for the mitzora. Trefos may chayos nafka from the word chayos above. It says shtei tiparim chayos toros. The word chayos tells us that the animal has to be alive, and a trefos is not considered alive. So therefore, we don't have a drasha. So what's the drasha from the word tomatoes? So Gemara says, Hanicha l'man damer, this makes sense according to the one who holds treifa chaya. No, a treifa is considered alive. We have that machlokas so many times. Is a treifa chaya not a chaya? So if you assume a treifa is a chaya, then a treifa is alive. So it's not excluded from the word chayos. Chayos does imply treifos. Even treifos are included. So therefore, you do need the word chimeos to exclude treifos. But the question becomes, l'man damer treifa in a chaya, that a treifa is not considered alive. So we already excluded the word treifa, the treifos, from the word chayos. So, Michael Maimer, what do we learn additionally from the word Temeah, Tahoros, when the Pasuk says, Shnei Tziporim Chayos Tahoros? What's being learned? The Ode, moreover, asks the Gemara, Bein Mandamar Trefa Chaya, Bein Mandamar Eino Chaya. Whether or not you paskin that a Trefa is alive or not alive, we have a Brisa, Midetana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Nafka, Detana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. The Nemar says, he has a Gzer Shava. It says Nemar, Machshir Mechaper Bifnim. When it comes to carbonos that are Bifnim in the base of Migdash, we have a Machshir, we have a Mechaper. Certain carbonos are Machshir, which permit a person, it's a Tara process to permit a person to eat a carbon, like a carbon yuledis. A carbon yuledis is Machshir, the woman, to eat carbonos. And we have the Asha Mitzora, which is Machshir, the Mitzora, to eat. And there's certain carbonos which are bringing mechaper, which is mechaper on an aveira, such as chataos and ashamos. So just like in Bifnim, we have some carbonos that are machshir person, others that are mechaper person, so too v'nem are machshir mechaper b'chutz. With regards to certain avodah done outside, we have certain things that are machshir person, such as tzipor mitzora, which take place outside, and that is machshir. And we have certain things outside that are mechaper, such as the sar lazazil, we throw off the cliff, that's mechaper, even though it's chutz. So we have this parallel of mechaper machshir b'fnim, and we have mechaper machshir mechaper b'chutz. So once we created this parallel, so Tana the Beir Yishmael explains, Ma Machshir Mechaper Ha'amur Bifnim, just like those carbonos that take place inside the base of Mikdash, Asaba Machshir Ki Mechaper, we equated the Machshir types of carbonos to the Mechaper ones, in that all the different limbs, even of the Machshirin, go on the Mizbeach. So Af Machshir Mechaper Ha'amur Bechut, so too the Machshir Mechaper that take place outside, even though there's no carbon in the Mizbeach, we could still equate Asabo Machshir Mechaper. We equate the halachas to the same. So just like we need for the Sar Mishaleach, the goat that gets pushed off the cliff, that's a it's a mechaper, and you have to use a kosher sayer. It has to be kosher. It can't be a trefa. Everything has to be potentially roy as a carbon, even though it's not being brought as a carbon, but we treat it as a carbon. So to the machshir, namely the mitzora, the shtei tziporim mitzora, have to be kosher as well. So that excludes certainly a animal that's a tamei, an animal that's a trefa. So everyone's going to agree, based on this gzeir shava of Tana Beir Yishmael, you don't need a word tomeos to exclude a trefa. We know that from the connection to the Sar Lazazu. So back to square one, what do we learn from the word Shnei Tziporim Chayos Temea, Taro? So what's the word Taro is teaching us that we don't already know? So the Gemara says, Ella, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak L'mute Tzipore Ir HaNidachas. A Tzipore Nidachas, a bird that's an Ir Nidachas, it's Aser B'hana, and it's telling us that that animal is also excluded from being used as the Shnei Tzipor. It has to be Tahoros as opposed to that which is Aser. Gemara says, Lamai, which type of bird? We know there are two birds that are being used. Shnei tziporim, two birds used for the mitzvah. One bird shechted and we use the blood to sprinkle on the mitzvah. The other bird is sent away. It's shiluach. So what is the which bird are we potentially using this ir nedachas for that we have to say you can't use? So the Gemara says, Lamai, Eid l'shiluach, if you're telling me that we would have thought you could perhaps use the ir nedachas bird to shiluach as the bird of the mitzvah that we send off, well, that, of course, you can't use that. We know it's obvious because lo amr Torah l'shaleach l'takala, the Torah wouldn't say, take an usher bird and send it off to Bakash the mitzvah. Now, some guy is going to take this bird not knowing the origin of it and is going to use it when it's really, in fact, ir nedachas. So the Torah would never allow you to really be machshil a person. So the Gemara says, Ela l'shchita. The havamina is that you would use the tzipor to use as the bird that's shechted and use the blood to sprinkle all over the mitzvah. And that, the Torah tells us, has to be shnei tziporim chayos tahoros to exclude an ir nedachas tzipor. Rava Amar, Rava gives another answer. Rava says, you know the word tahoros means lemeute shelo lezaveg la acharas kodem shiluchah. they're telling us it didn't hear that a bird that's already used for one mitzvah shouldn't be used a second time for another mitzvah. You shouldn't use it twice. That's what we're learning from this din here. So Lamai, in terms of which bird would you think to perhaps bring it a second time? So we're talking about with the bird, the mitzvah number one, you have two birds. One bird shechted, and bird B is now being sent off. So Gemara says, Rava says, you think maybe before sending off that second bird, use it for another bird, another mitzvah, and then send it off a second time. The Gemara says you can't use it twice. So the Gemara says, Lamai, what would you potentially use this bird a second time before sending it off? If you're telling me, Ilashchita, you want to shecht it for the second mitzvah, well, you can't say shecht it because you have to send it as part of the first mitzvah. So Ela Lishiluach, they want to send it twice. Before you send it after mitzvah A, they said, let's use it a second time for mitzvah B, and then send it off once to kill two birds, no pun intended, with two stones, with one stone. So perhaps you could do that. So the Gemara says, therefore, telling us, no, you have to use it only for one round of mitzvah. You can't use it for two rounds of mitzvah. The Gemara then says, Rapapa says, Litziporim Shechli. It's a different din and different explanation, what we're coming to learn here. He says, Litziporim Shechlifu Bavodazara. That's what we're learning. You cannot use a bird that had been swapped with a Vodazara. That is possible from being used as the Mitzara. It says in the Pasuk, Vayisachem Kamahu. The Pasuk is referring to the Avodazara. So Avodazara is Chaim. You're not allowed to use it. Kol ma she'ata mehayeha heimanu, that anything that comes about from Avodah Zarah has the same din kamohu. So even though, since I had original Avodah Zarah and I was machlifit with a bird, that bird takes in all the halachas of the Avodah Zarah itself and all the Yisurim, and that's what the Torah is telling us when it says Tahoros, it's excluding a chilufei Avodah Zarah from being used as mitzvah. So Gemara says, Lamai, what was the potential part of the mitzvah that would think to use such a bird? Ela shiluach, ever tell me this chilufa avodah zara could have been used to send off? That can't be the case. Lo amar Torah shalach latakal. We wouldn't send it off where some other person is going to machshil on it or nichshil on it. It's ela l'shchita, referring to that perhaps you could use it for mitzvah to shecht it, and the pasuk tells us has to be taharos, excluding that which is aser for avodah zara. Ravina comes along and gives another explanation, what we learn from the word Tahoros. Ravina Amar, Hacha b'may askin, what's the case here? Be'of shaharages ha-nefesh. A bird committed murder, killed a person. That we're learning is such a bird is possible from being used as a mitzvah. Asks the Gemara, Heichid, I mean, what's the case where a bird kills a person? Eid the Gamar Dina, if it's a case where a bezin was ready, Nigmar Din, and gave the verdict that this animal must be killed, Bar Katalu, this animal's Chai Misa. Of course you can't use it for Shchita, you can't use it for the Shiluach of the Mitzara. Ella Kodnim Gamar Din is talking about where it killed a person, but had not yet been brought to a bezin, that's the Havamina to be used perhaps for a Taras Mitzara. So Lamai, which bird of the Taras Mitzara are we suggesting perhaps you could use the Oaf Sharag Nefesh? E Litzipur Shel Shiluach, referring to the Shiluach, a bird to be sent off. Well, by Lasri Lebedino, you have to bring it to Bezdin, the Kuma, to fulfill the din of Biarta Rami Karbecha. You can't let around an animal that committed murder just flying away. You have to bring it to Bezdin to be killed. So that can't be used as a Shiluach. That was too obvious. Ella Lishchita. The suggestion is maybe you could kill the Oaf Sharag Nefesh. Kodem Gemardin, perhaps you could use that to be shechted as part of the Taras Mitzara. We learn from the word Taharos that no, it's possible to be used as part of the Taras Mitzara. Okay, Gemara now says, last 8 lines of the Amud or so, Of Tame Rovets Al Beitzei Of Tar. Let's say you have a non-kosher bird that's sitting on top, crouching on top of kosher eggs, the din is, or the vice versa, kosher bird is on non-kosher eggs, the Mishnah Torah says, pater from Mitzvah Shalach, you don't have to perform the mitzvah Shalach HaKein. So Bishma, this all makes sense. Of Tamei, Rovetz Al Beitzei Tahor, I understand the drasha. Why, if a non-kosher bird is sitting on kosher eggs, it's possible, because Ba'inan Tzipor, you need a Tzipor, that's what Tzipor is referring to the mother. And we already established that Tzipor is referring to a kosher bird, so if the mother, the one crouching on top, is not kosher, it's excluded, that we get Lekka, it's not there. Ela of Tahor, Rovetz Al Beitzei Of Tamei, but you have a kosher bird sitting on non-kosher eggs, why aren't you chayv in shiluach? Yeah, don't we have it tzipor? There's a kosher bird. There's a kosher mother. The mother's a kosher bird. So that should be a tzipor. It should be chayv in shiluach. So Gemara says, Kedamer Rav Kahn explains, the Pasuk tells us, tikach lach. It says you should take for you. So what do you mean take for you? It has to be something that's roi. The eggs have to be roi for you to eat. It has to be halachically edible. So tikach lach v'lo leklavecha, not for your dogs, or hachanami here as well, tikach lach v'lo leklavecha. And since the eggs we're referring to are not kosher, it can't be called tikach lach, and therefore exempt from the mitzvah of shilach hakein. So the heichi idmar, where exactly was Rav Kana's initial statement where he said the din of lo tikach lach v'lo leklavecha? So it says, the Rav Kana, aha, disani, on the following brayso. It says in the brayso, aim trefa. If the mother bird is a trefa, it's chayv b'shiluach. You have to perform the mitzvah shiluach hakein. Efrochem trefos, if the birds, the chicks are trefos, it's pater mishiluach. You are exempt from having to send away. So minahan emile, how do we know this? Amarav kana, the damakra, tikach lach v'lo lechavecha. Since when the eggs are trefos, you can't eat it. It's not called tikach lach. It's exempt from shiluach hakein. So too, if the eggs are not only for the trefa, but if they're also tame, if they're non-kosher birds, that's also an example of tikach lach v'lo lechavecha. So then the Gemara says, "Ulahakish, why don't we make a hekish? Ha'em trefa le'afrochem. So should we make a hekish now? The mother of a trefa should be connected to the afrochem that are trefos. Ma afrochem trefa, just like we said, if afrochem, if the chicks are trefos, it's pater mishiluach because it's tikach lach lo lechlavecha. We should say the mother should be the same din. Af aim trefa, if the mother's a trefa, nami pater mishiluach. We should say the same conclusion. The mother's a trefa, there should be a ptur of the mitzvah as well. The Gemara says, im kain. Sipur, lemute of tame lamalim. If that's the case, so then you don't have to have tzipor to exclude of tame, because if we're saying that a kosher bird is exempt because it's a trefa, so certainly a non-kosher bird is exempt as well. And since we use the drasha, the Gemara uses the drasha, tzipor is excluding a non-kosher bird, that implies a kosher bird, even though it's a trefa, would be included in the mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, "V'hat tana," but doesn't the Braisa clearly say, "Eim afrochem trefa chayev b'shiluach"? Doesn't it tell us, we said above, if the afrochem are trefos, you're potter in shiluach because tikach lach v'lo chlavecha. But here the Braisa says, if the afrochem are trefos, you're chayev b'shiluach, even though you can't eat the afrochem because they're trefos. The Gemara says, you're putting like the comma in the wrong place. Amar Bai says, "Hachi kamar afroach she'iman trefa." The way it should be read is, if you have the chicks, you have the eggs, whereby the mother is a trefa, so then you're chayv and shiluach, that's consistent. But ein echanami, if the frochem themselves were trefos, ein echanami, we would paskin that you would pater from shiluach because of tikach lach v'lo lichlavecha. Marna asks a series of interesting questions here, the Rabbi Yirmiyah types of questions of tekus. The Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Hoshaya." Hoshaya asks the following question: "Hoshit yado lakein, a person extends his hand into the basket, into the nest, v'shachat miyut simanim. He cuts some of the simanim, not fully but partially, of the chicks. Mahu, what's the din at that very moment when he's in the middle of the shechita? So is he chayv to do shiluach of sending away the mother bird? Why would that be the case? Miyar minan, do we say kaven deilu shavakalu if he just stopped midway and pulled away the knife, mitarfe, now the chicks would be trefa, and therefore be'inan lach v'lo l'chavecha, and therefore he should be pater, because if he stopped midway, just pulled away, the animals are trefa, the chickens are trefos, and he should be pater from shiluach hakein? Or perhaps we should say, or dilma, it's very possible he could finish the shechita, and kevan debiyado l'ligbar, the shechita, he could finish the shechita, it'll be a kosher shechita, the birds will be permitted to be eaten, maybe we should call tikach lach karina bay, and it's called tikach lach, take it for yourself and eat it, v'chai b'shiluach. So we're not sure, that midpoint, if you could mamish get the middle miyut simanim in the process of the shechita, are you chayv and shiluach at that very moment or not? Kamash, we say in the end, take it. We don't know what the answer to that shaila is. And boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, matlis mal shetachos. The din is, we're going to see a bit later, that in order to be chayv and shiluach hakein, the mother bird has to be hovering over the bird nest and perhaps touching the bird's nest. But let's say there's some type of chatzita, the matlis, or some type of cloth that's in between the eggs and the mother that's crouching over. What mal shetachos? Does that serve as a chatzita? Or let's say knafayim, you have some feathers, that are loose, that fell off, are now in between the eggs and the mother bird. So the mother bird's not directly touching the eggs, but does that serve ma'u sheyachos? Is that going to be a chatzita and an exemption of shiluach hakein? Let's say a beitzim muzaros. What's beitzim muzaros? Muzaros, Rashi explained, to the beitzim that don't have the ability to fertilize. It only came from the mother, but the male never fertilized them. Samahu, what's the din there? Is that going to serve as a chatzita if those are in between eggs below? So Beitim Muzaros, those themselves are pater. But let's say the Beitim Muzaros are into, they're breaking between. You have eggs, fertilized eggs on the bottom. Then you have a layer of non-fertilized eggs on top. And then the mother bird, are those Beitim Muzaros are going to serve as a chatzita between the mother and the eggs that are fertilized below? That's another question. Shnei Sidre Beitim, you have two Zua Gavzu, you have two layers of Beitim, the higher ones and the lower ones. Similar question to above. Samahu, is that going to serve as a chatzitza or not a chatzitza? Zachar Agabe Beitim, Nukeva Agabe Zachar. Let's say you have the eggs, then you have the male bird. The male bird, that when there's a male bird, there is no Chiv Shulach Hakeim. But on top of the male bird, you have the mother bird. So you have a mother bird, a father bird, and then the eggs. Is the father bird going to serve Mao Sheachot? Is he going to serve as a chatzitza as well? And the Gemara says, take all these questions we don't know the answer to. So Bar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir asks a question, Yonah Beitei Tassil. Apparently the Tassil bird, I don't know if they have English for it, but it's very similar to the Yonah. So let's say they switched around. The Yonah sat in the Tassil eggs. Mao, what's a din? Or the vice versa, the Tassil bird sat in the Beitei Yonah. So they switched around the mothers and the eggs. Mao, they're very similar species. Do they have any translation for us? So whatever it is. So the din is... What?
They're both tar,
but has to, otherwise it wouldn't be a shiloh. So they're both kosher birds. So what's the din if they switched around, even though they're very similar meaning, but they're not exactly the same? Mahu, what would the din be there? So Amar Abai said, I'll bring you a raya from the following din. Tashma, we learned in the mission, the beginning of the parak, of tamei rovetzal beitei of tar. A non-kosher bird on kosher birds, or tahor, a kosher bird that's rovetzal beitei of tamei, that's pata mishiluach. We can make the following diak. If it's a tahor, the tahor chayv. If it's a kosher bird on top of kosher eggs, even though it's not its own eggs, even though it's not its own type, it implies from the Mishnah that you would taka be chayv. Gemara says, Dilmei bekori, maybe only by the kori bird. The kori bird, and Rashi explains, the minig of a kori bird is, it's a kosher bird, it sits on other bird eggs. That's normal. So, bederach, it's into the minig of a kach, that's the only example where we'd say a tahor on top of tahor beitim would be kosher. But other types of species where they don't typically sit on other people's eggs, other bird's eggs, and certainly other species' eggs, it doesn't really happen much. So that we would say is not bederach minig, and maybe that case should be Pater from Shiloach, so the Gemara does not have a conclusive answer. Gemara now darshins, we said in the Mishnah Machlok is by a Kori Zachar. A Kori Nekeva, do you have a translation for a Kori, by the way?
Partridge.
Okay. So the partridge bird, we'll call it a Kori, I guess. The Kori, if it's a Nekeva, so that we said a Kori Nekeva that goes on other eggs, that's fine. But what about Kori Zachar? What about male Kori? What's the din there? So that was a Machlokus in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer is Mechayiv and Chacham Potim. Rabbi Eliezer felt that even a Kori Zacha that sits on other birds, he felt would be Chayiv and Shulach HaKein, and Chacham said Pater. Now, Kori Zacha referred to the male partridge, right? So even though typically we say a male is Pater from Shulach HaKein, this would be an exception according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer has to explain his position. How come the Kori Zacha is Chayiv in Shulach HaKein? So ask the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abahu, my time, what was the reason to Rabbi Eliezer? It says, Asya Degira Degira, there's a Gzeira Shava. Ksiv Hach, it's written here, Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, Kore Zachar velo Yalad. Okay, Kore Dachar, rather, Kore. A Kore Dagar. The word Dagar is used velo Yalad. So Ksiv Hasim, it's written in a different Pasuk in Yeshayahu, is referring to just a stam bird that's sitting on its eggs. It says, Ubaka Vidagra Bitsila. So you want to make a drasha here that a Kore Zachar always is called a Dagar, the word Dagar. And we see that when it's sitting on another nest, it's called the din of dagger, whatever. I don't fully know what the word.
What does dagger mean there? How to translate it?
Is that word? Gather them.
So gather them. So the word dagger is used by kore. The word dagger is used by other birds as well, which sounds like whenever kore is sitting on other eggs, other nests, there's a chiv of shiluach hakein. That's the drasha. So it comes along now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim by the kore zachar is only by a kore zachar. Aval b'kari nekeva, the female partridge, that divriya kol chayv. There, everyone would agree, even the chacham would agree, that even though the kari nekeva is sitting on other nests, there would be a chiv of shulach hakeim. Was a pshita, that's an obvious din. What would have to be taught otherwise? Kari zachar tanan. The Mishnah tells us that machlok is only by the kari zachar. Doesn't that clearly imply by the kari nekeva there is no machlok, is that everybody agrees? So what's Rabbi Elazar teaching us that we wouldn't otherwise have learned on our own from the Mishnah? So Gemara says, Mao the same, what would I have thought? Rabbanan, Afilo Kori Nekeva Patr. Maybe, just like Rabbanan hold the Kori Zachas Patr, they hold even a Kori Nekeva's Patr as well. So how come the Mishnah specified it singled out only Zachar? To tell us that Rabbi Elazar, how strong his sheet is, that normally a Zachar is Potter. But Rabbi Elazar is so convinced by the Korah that even a Korah Zachar is Chayiv. So trying to teach how far he's willing to extend himself, Kamash Milan, that no, that Korah Zachar is not teaching a din by Rabbi Elazar. It's telling us that a Korah Nekeva, even Rabbanan agree, is Chayiv. Amar, now Gemara says further, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Machlokas is only by Korah Zachar. Aval b'zachar de'alma, a male bird in general, divriak kol patah. There, everybody agrees is actually going to be patah. Even Rabbi Eliezer will agree in general that a male father bird is patah. Pshita, kari zachar tzanan. The Mishnah tells us that only mechokas is by kari zachar. Doesn't that apply by a stam zachar? Everybody agrees that there's a p'tur of the mitzvah. You want to say the same or no? I would have thought Rabbi Eliezer afilu b'zachar de'alma mechayv. That really, Rebbe Elazar thinks not only by a Kori Zachar is chayiv, but any time there's a Zachar bird, Rabbi Eliezer thinks you're chayiv in Shiloh HaKein. Behind the Gatani, how come the Mishnah specified only a Kori Zachar? Why that single out that case? Just say a Stam Zachar. Lo diacha kochel derban, to tell us that didn't derban. That not only Rabbanan tell us that a Zachar in general is putter, but even by a Kori Zachar, where the Kori Zachar is a unique bird, even then, Rabbanan want to say putter as well. So that's why Kamashman telling us that when it comes to a Zachar Stam, a Zachar Baalma, even Rabbi Eliezer tells us it's putter. So just to be clear right now, where we're holding with everything, a Stam Zachar bird, a male bird, everybody agrees is putter. And when it comes to a Nekeva, Kori Nekeva, everyone agrees that Kori Nekeva is Chayiv. The only machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham is a Kori Zachar. Kori Zachar, even though in general Zachar is Pater, in this case Rabbi Eliezer thinks it's Chayiv, and Chacham say no, a Kori Zachar is Pater like every other Zachar. So Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same din right before the Mishnah. It says, Zachar de Alma, Pater, Kori Zachar. But if it's a Kori Zachar, a partridge bird, that's a male, that's where there's Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer's Mechayiv, and Chachamim Potu. Okay, let's begin the new Mishnah now. The Mishnah tells us that if the mother bird is hovering, flying over the nest, if the wings, the feathers of the mother bird are touching the nest, so then chayv l'shaleach, then there's a chayv, but ain knafeh nogas b'kein, if it's not touching, patim l'shaleach. So let's say you want to go take the eggs, and you want to send away the mother bird first, so the mother bird is just hovering over, but not touching, and you send away the mother bird, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. You have to wait until the mother bird has rested, or at least touching the nest. Then you come and scare the mother bird away, you send her off, so then there's a mitzvah. But if it's not touching the nest at all, there's a p'tur of shiluach hakein. So ain sham ela froach echad, oh beta achas. Let's say there's only one chick or there's only one egg. Chay v'shalach, there's a chiv of shiluach hakein as well. Shenemar says in the pasuk kan, it says ki kari kan sipur. So kan is even in the singular. Kan may come makam, whatever size, whatever amount of chicks or eggs are in the nest, that's considered nest in the chayv and shiluach hakein. Let's say you have some chicks that are old enough to fly on its own. Oh, beta muzaros, or eggs that are not fertilized. Pater mishal nishalach. Then, if the eggs are either unfertilized or the chicks are too big, they're big enough to fly. These are two examples where there's a p'tur of shiluach hakein. Shenemar, how do we know what's the source? The ha'im roventes al ha'afrochim ol al ha'beitim. If the mother's crouching over the chicks or it's crouching over the eggs, what's the joshua? Ma afrochim b'nei kayama, just like the afrochim are animals that are grown and developed, b'nei kayama, ha'beitim b'nei kayama, so to eggs they have the potential to be b'nei kayama, to fertilize, that are fertilized, that can develop into chicks. Yatsu to exclude muzaros, which are eggs which are not fertilized, which cannot become b'nei kayama. So that's how we know beitim muzaros are excluded from the mitzvah. And furthering the drasha, ma beitim tzrichim la'iman, just like eggs require the mother to continue to fertilize it and develop it. So after afrochem, so too the only types of chicks that there's a chiv of shiluach hakein is afrochem that tzrichim la'iman because they can't fly on their own. Yatsu mafrichim, but if the chicks are able to fly on their own, there's someone independent whereby they don't need the mother anymore. So then there is no longer a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. So that's the mission. Gemara now tells us Tanur Ban, the Brisa teaches us. Based on the pasuk, it says rovetes, that the mother's crouching over below melfefes and not hovering over. So afilu knafeh noges b'kein. So one might think that if it's hovering over, if it's not crouching in, but if it's hovering over, even if it touches it, it shouldn't be a mitzvah. Tamaloma rovetes, to tell us no, that has to, as long as it's touching it, it's enough. So my Tamuda, what's a drasha? How does the word rovetes teach us the following din, that if you're hovering over and the mother's wing is touching it, that's not rovetes. That's a unique ravetta means the mom should crouch into the nest. So Gemara says, midilok siv yosheves. The word Yosheves, that would have implied that the mother bird has to be mamash settled into the nest, sitting down. Since to use the word Rovetes, that implies, apparently implies, that it's somewhat disconnected from the nest. So we learn from the word Rovetes that if the mother bird is hovering over, yet it's touching the nest, that's enough of a connection to the nest to be chayv in Shiloh HaKein. But if it's flying and not touching the nest, so then there's a p'tur of Shiloh HaKein. So Amar Rav Yehuda my Rav, Hayitza Yosheves Bein Shnei Rov De'ilam. Let's say the mother bird is sitting, it's crouching between two different branches of the tree. But it's not mamish on the nest, but the nest is somehow situated between different branches. So it's on branches. And so the din is, do we consider that as part of an extension of the nest itself, the branches themselves, or no? So the Gemara says, how do we know? Rowan, take a look. Kol shim tishamet, in any situation, if we were to, in theory, remove the branches, nofeas alem, will the mother bird just collapse and fall on top of the nest below it? So then, chayv l'shalech. Im lav, if, however, that the mother bird would not fall directly on top of it, it would be off to the side, pater. So, the same thing we have when it comes to a person who's standing up and leaning while davening Shemir Esrei. Is that called an amida? So we say, if you remove the bench, you remove the stand, he'll fall over, that's called yeshiva. But if you remove the bench, he'll still be standing up, that's called an amida. So here as well, we say, remove the branches in your mind and see, is the bird directly above the nest? And if it is, it'll fall down in the nest, so that's called rovetes. But if it's off to the side a little bit, whereby if you remove it, it's going to fall and miss the nest, so that's not considered rovetes ala kain, and that would be a p'tur of shiloh hakain. Asks the Gemara now, Meisive. We have a Brayse that teaches us, Hayisa Yosheves Beinayim. If the mother bird is sitting inside the nest itself, and it's between the eggs, not on top of the eggs, but between the eggs, between the ephrochem, it's touching them on the side, but not touching them on top, Pater Mil Shalech. You're Pater from sending away. Al Gabayim. But if they're on top of the mother bird's on top of the eggs, on top of the ephrochem, then Chay the Shalech. Then there's a Chiv. So the Gemara says, the Brayse continues. Hayisa milfefes, if the mother bird is hovering, flying over the nest, afil knafeh nogas bakein, even if the wings are touching the nest, patim milshalech, there's a patur, even though it's right above, it's patur. So my lav, do we not make the following din? Agabeim dumi dibeneim, that on top is just like when it's next to, meaning, ma beneim, just like when the mother bird is sitting next to, within the eggs, within the ephrochem, nogabahu, it's where it's touching the birds, and yet there's still patur. So after two agabem, when the mother bird's hovering over, they're touching them as well, and yet we see that that's the zechiv. So we learn from all this, only if the mother bird's actually touching the eggs. But aval, we can learn from here, rov de'ilan, if it's touching the branches of the tree, even though it's right above it, pater. So meaning we learn from the din here, the only time that the zechiv shiloh hakein, is if the mother bird is touching the eggs with the ephrochem above. But if it's above it, even though it might be directly above it, and it's not touching the ephrochem, not touching the beitzim, this price implies that there would be a p'tur of shiloh hakein, which goes against the din of Rav Yehuda Marav, because he felt that as long as it's above it somehow, on the branch, even though it's not touching the eggs, there is a chiv. So Gemara says, lo, you made the incorrect diak. When we say agabeim dumi debenem, that on top, when the mother bird's on top, it's similar to when the mother bird is amongst the ephrochem, the following diak should be made. Ma binayim delo nagu alayu. When the mother bird's sitting amongst the birds, it's not touching on top of them, and that's why there's a patur. It's only touching the side of the eggs, only touching the side of the birds. So afso too, agabeim, when we're saying on top of the bird, delo nagu alayu, it's not touching on top of them. But hainu rov de'ilam, that's when it's off to the side. But if it's on top of them, if it's right above the eggs, eina chanami, even though it's rov de'ilam, there would be a chiyav of shiluach hakein. So hachanami misavah, this is very sensible to say, because these hagadaitach rov de'ilam pater, if you would think that really if the mother bird is on the branch of the tree and would be pater across the board, so adatani, from the fact that Brisa taught us, ha'isam ofefes afil knafeh nogas bakein pater milashalech. The din is that if the mother bird is hovering over, even though the wings are touching the basket, it's pater from saying, pater from sending. So let's say the Brisa should have really taught rov de'ilan and kol shekein me'ofefes, that if the mother bird is resting on the branches, it's pater, so then certainly if it's hovering over the basket, it's pater as well. From the fact that we didn't teach that, didn't tell us that only hovering over is their patur. But if the mother bird is resting on the rov de'ilan, then we could learn from this dirk that there is a chiv. It's a chiv so long as the mother bird is directly above on the rov de'ilan as opposed to off to the side on the rov de'ilan. So Gemara says this is not a good raya. Because Melfefes Itzrichle. No, we had to teach in the Braisa the din of Melfefes, because there's a certain chiddush we wouldn't have known otherwise. The din is the Afilu Knafe Nogus Bakein Pater Mishalech. The din is Melfefes, were telling us, we would think maybe Melfefes is only Pater if it's not touching the nest. But if it's touching the nest, we would have thought it should be a Chiva. Kamashul on that note, that even if the bird hovering above is touching the nest, it's still going to be Pater. That's the chiddush. The Gemara says, wait a second, we just learned the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if the bird's hovering over and it touches the nest, there is a chiv shiluach. And now we're saying if it touches the nest, it's pater from shiluach. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, ki katani masisa, when the braisa taught the din that it's a ptur, when it's melfefes and touching its pater, that's benogeh minatzad, touching off to the side. But if it's touching on top, there be a chiv. So just make everything clear. So if you have a mother bird that's hovering over, if it's touching the nest, if it's off to the side touching the nest, it's pater. If it's on top of the nest and touching the nest, then there's a chiv. Same thing by Rov de Ilan. If it's on the branches, and it's resting on the branches, not hovering, but resting on the branches, if the branches and the bird is right above the nest, there's a chiv. But if it's off to the side of the nest, right below it, the nest isn't right below it, then there would be a ptur of shiluach. Okay, that's what comes out. Let's finish this Ikad Amri. The Gemara says Ikad Amri. Others say as follows. Lema Mesaile, let's say that this din we're learning right now, it supports the following din. We had the din before of Rav Yehuda, who the Rav Yehuda said again, what was his din? He said that if a bird is sitting bein neshnei rov de ilan, so we see if you remove the branches, will it be directly fall on top of the nest? If it will, it's chayv, and if it won't fall directly on the nest, it's patur. So let's say lema mesayle. Let's say the following brisa supports the shita of Rav Yehuda. Hayisa yoshev beinayim, if it's sitting amongst the efrochim, amongst the beitzim, patim l'shaleach, because it's next to it, it's not on top of it. The din has to be al gabe, has to be on top of the birds. But if it's within the birds, it's patur. Agabem, but if the mother bird's on top of the efrochim, then chayv l'shaleach. Hayisa melfefes, the brisa says, if the mother bird's flying over, afilu knafeh nogos, even though the wing of the mother bird is touching the nest, bakein patim l'shaleach. So my love is a following din not true, that we should say agabem dumi divineim. We should compare the din of the mother bird being above to the mother bird being beneim. Ma beneim, just like when it's within amongst the efrochim, de lo nagulai, it's not touching them. Afagabem de lo nagulai, so too when the mother bird's hovering over, it's a case where it's not touching them. Vahainu rov de ilan, that's the rov de ilan, where it's on the branches, but it's not on the nest, and therefore there would be din of ptur. So Gemara says, love, that's incorrect halacha. Agabeyam dumi debenem, that on top of them is similar to the living, sitting amongst them. Ma benayim denagubo, it's a case where the mother bird is touching them. It's touching them on the side. And af agabeyam denagubo, so too when it's on top, it's touching them as well. Avar rov de ilam, when it's on the branches and it's not touching, in a chadami, there'd be a ptur of shulach hakein. This is not like Rav Yehuda. So Gemara says, wait a second, ihachi. The fact that the Sefer tells us Hayisa Melfefes, that if the mother bird is hovering over Afilu Knafeh Nogas Bekein Pater, that if it touches the nest, it's still going to be Pater. So let's say, why doesn't the Braisa be clear and teach us Rov de Ilan, that if the mother bird is on the branches and there's a Patur, Koshke Melfefes, certainly if it's flying over, it's Pater as well. Gemara says Melfefes Yitzirchle, we have to teach a din of flying over, because the Afilu Knafeh Nogas Bekein Pater Mleshlech, telling us an extra din that we wouldn't have known otherwise, that flying over we know for sure is pater. But if the flying over and the wings are touching the nest, we would think maybe you should be chayv in that case. So that's what the Braisa said to tell me, even a knafeh nogos, there's still ptur if the mother's flying over. We said, our Mishnah taught us the other way, that bizman sheknafeh nogos bekein chayv l'shalech. We said that if the mother bird's flying over and it's touching the basket, the nest, it is chayv. And we're saying now it's pater. So Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kikatani Masnitsa. Braisa says, when you pater, but no geam in that side, when you're touching off to the side, that's when you're pater. But if it's flying over and touching from above, then Eichanami, there would be a chiv of Shiluach. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.